also a whiz when it comes to like figuring out what the latest things are. He was just telling me about all sorts of AI. His name is Nathan Rowe. Hello, Nathan Rowe.
Good morning, Gareth Cliff.
How the hell are you, dude?
I am amazing.
No, well, you look, yeah. He said that he was told by producer James to dress for the wall in black and warm in case...
I was phoned by a man named James and he said, it's very cold up there on the wall, on the cliff. So dress warmly, wear black. Otherwise, you cast weird shadows on the books.
Yeah, all these books. Do you want to borrow one of those books quickly and look something up?
There is actually one up there that I really want to grab. So, yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk a whole lot of nonsense and have some fun this morning. We were going to drape you in green and then just have your head float in.
I was actually hoping for that.
You
actually.
Were?
Yeah.
Okay, well, to sorry, too late for that. We might do it. We'll see how it goes. So... you were telling me about some fascinating stuff earlier. There's an AI that you've discovered which allows you to generate music. Like, who needs composers anymore? This was always the thing that I was most jealous of in the world, is the ability to write a song. I think I told you that before.
Yeah.
And now it turns out computers can do it. Not a thing.
But you still can't.
I still can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, still can't. But I'll lie. I'll use this. So what is this thing called?
So it's called Suno.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's actually flipping amazing technology. I shouldn't have told you about it as a songwriter and musician myself. I kind of shot myself in the foot there.
Yes.
But it's just an amazing AI that can create a song in 5 seconds in any style you like with lyrics. And you can even make an instrumental.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can compose your film score.
So you can have a grand opera?
I mean, if you have an hour-long movie, you could probably create the soundtrack in about 30 minutes.
Screw Hans Zimmer. Who needs him, right?
Yeah, who does need him?
Oh, it's very, very exciting time we live in.
I mean, he's gotten a bit stale in his old age. I feel he's just doing one notes now.
I mean, it's kind of been a lot of movie soundtracks. I don't know about you, but TV and movie soundtracks. Doom.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that cost... $200,000?
Yeah.
Really?
Exactly. I'm a John Williams fan. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, John Williams. Let's just go through a few of the brilliant things. He did Star Wars, obviously.
Yeah.
Did E.T.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
One of my favorites, yeah.
In fact, he's done pretty much everything Spielberg did.
Yeah, he did, what was the one about the sun? Christian Bale and Ben Stiller. Weird collab.
No, I don't remember
Empire
that.
Of the Sun.
Oh, okay, yeah. But he's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean,
phenomenal.
Incredible. And he went and played with an orchestra. I saw him. By the way, today is the 200th anniversary of Beethoven's Ode to Joy.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Huh. And I know this because last night while I was falling asleep, my phone went ping and it was somebody who also loves classical music. And they said...
It was Carolyn Stain.
No,
and she said, whispers with Carolyn Stain. And she whispered something to you. You know, it's Beethoven's Ode to Joy's 200th birthday.
But I remember there was a composer and concert orchestra conductor who came out to South Africa when I was probably in my 20s. And he taught us the words in German.
Oh, wow.
To Beethoven's Ode to Joy. And I remember he taught this whole audience of people. There were like 500 people in the audience. And he taught us all how it goes because it's one of the most famous pieces of music ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's the da 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 da. Ode to Joy. Freude goes, Freude schöne Gitterfunken, Tochter aus Elysium. Wir betreten feuertrunken himmlische dein Heiligtum. Deiner Zauber bin den Fede vor der Mode streng geteilt. Aller Menschen wir den Brüder für dein sanfter Flügel feilt.
Schmetterling.
Good.
Beautiful.
But it's magnificent. So the words, and it's been used in so many different places, the words are actually, that last line is, all men become brothers when they work in harmony, when they live in peace. So it's been used as the anthem for, I think, the European Union, which, of course, is an unmitigated disaster. But the song remains brilliant. And many people have said it's the most perfect composition of all time, since we're talking about compositions.
Sure.
So it's ironic that we should be celebrating its 200th birthday on the day we started talking nonsense about composition.
I'm so impressed that you remember
a song in German some guy taught you in your 20s.
Yes.
I mean, I can only teach an audience the lyrics to Tequila. Pretty much.
I saw you performing just the other day, actually, and you do this excellent. I never get sick of it, is seeing you play around with those Disney songs.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're probably tired of it, but it is so good. Like, you do all the voices, you know how to play it all on the ukulele or on the guitar. It's just really good.
Yeah, I live for Disney. Well, golden age Disney.
Yes, not current woke Disney.
Yeah, woke Disney is, it's battling a bit.
But although, pederasty at the moment, if you ask me.
You know, so there was one called Elemental that came out.
Yeah.
And actually a brilliant film, but the marketing was so woke, it bombed at the box office. So it was so weird because I watched the movie and I was like, this actually should have done well. And it was completely their marketing that made it fail, which is, it's such an odd thing.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm afraid like people in the entertainment industry have just lost their minds.
Yeah.
They're all so desperate to, it's almost like everything is DEI. Everything.
Soon
diversity,
it'll just be AI.
Equity, inclusion. Well, that's the point, right? And you and I were talking about another kind of AI earlier this morning, Sora, which is the one that can generate video.
Mm.
And Sora eventually will mean that we don't need Hollywood.
Yeah.
So that's also great. I mean, ultimately, these are the creative arts that we're talking about. These are not, you know, accounting software packages. These are things that we've always thought, well, that's the domain of humans. Only humans can create. Well, it turns out not so much.
Yeah. And they're actually way better at it than
us. Yeah.
But you know what the thing is that AI really has a voice. I don't know if you noticed this with ChatGPT.
Mm.
Like, I can see advertising campaigns that are ChatGPT. You can feel the voice of ChatGPT.
And also, when you know, like, some pretty low-functioning friend of yours, and we all have, like, there's some people it's fun to drink with, but you don't sit and talk to them about the Ode to Joy. Those people, you'll see them and they'll say to you, oh, I've just put together this incredible business proposal for this and that. And you'll think, wow, okay. And you get it and you're like, oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
Basically, this guy typed in, I need a job to open AI or whatever.
Comes
back with like a 20-page report, which is all just nonsense.
Don't you think that's going to be the next skill, though, is actually like, seeing people's prompts.
There
you
are
can
already
see the prompt.
So there are already reverse AI engines, which teachers and lecturers use, because obviously the first place that would have been used was at learning institutions, because these guys are just crooks.
Totally.
You know, and also, I mean, a degree is a crook anyway. I don't care who knows it, because I think it's a complete waste of time. There are some degrees which are not, like, you know, medicine, where you actually have to do practical stuff and save lives. Engineering, that's also important, build bridges and so on.
I thought medicine, you just had to learn how to write the names
of the prescription.
What are they called? Antibiotics on a little paper.
Some doctors, that's pretty much
that's
it.
That's all I've ever received from a doctor,
but,
to be honest.
Yeah, well, then you're lucky, because, I mean, you could have had really, really important open heart surgery or something. It's interesting to me, though, that these guys have already, it took, AI was just a fledgling. And already a bunch of university students and high school students had figured out, this is how I can get my essay done super quickly. I mean, don't get me wrong. If it were me, I would have also done it. I think cheating is only cheating if you get caught. This is bad advice for the kids. So if you're a child, stop listening and watching now, because this is going to be the worst advice you ever hear. But if you're a parent or you're an adult or you don't give a shit, I mean, let's all face it. If you can find a way to do something quicker. I was talking to a friend of mine on Monday night. We went out for dinner. By the way, I had something called bluefin tuna.
I've heard of it.
It apparently, have you got that picture, James? I sent you a picture of it. So sashimi.
Different to the no-name brand tin.
It's not in a tin.
Oh, okay.
They
that's blue
delivered
as well.
Apparently to this restaurant, and we were checking it out. This friend of mine is doing this project with these guys, and he said, and he's in town. He usually lives in PE. He's in town for a little bit because his wife has buggered up her foot. But there it is. He said to me, come and test this menu with me. So I thought, please, man, I'll go because I want to see him. Anyway, we arrived there. That is how they serve it.
Sure.
That is bluefin tuna, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently,
that's salmon on the left, right?
Apparently, yeah, that's salmon on the left. Mm. That stuff, apparently the fish that they brought in from Japan
was the last one.
It's like half a million rand.
Cheapest. So how much was just that little bite?
Just the fish. I don't know, because we were just testing, right? So we didn't get charged, but it's probably a fortune.
My goodness.
Pretty good, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm more of a yellowfin tuna guy myself.
You're more the tin.
More the tin, yeah.
So anyway, that was going on. And basically, we got talking about cheating. And he was saying his business has just started flying. It's not cheating, but he's learned processes. He basically has a bunch of spreadsheets and a bunch of organograms, and he puts information in. There's like a form, and then the form turns it into a series of meetings for all of his staff. There are monthly meetings, quarterly meetings, annual meetings. There are all kinds of decks that are generated by this.
Mm.
His team report to him X number of days at a time. He puts in new ideas. If there's a hiring that needs to be done, these forms can figure out what sort of person you need. It's essentially, it's business cheating.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really works. He said they are doing better than they've ever done. Process. And a lot of that stuff, we've just got to admit as humans, we're not that good at. Because we always like a little bit of nuance, a little bit of change, a slight bit of randomness here or there.
Mm.
And machines and mathematics don't like any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want to succeed, there is a small amount of cheating that is required.
Yeah, we. So I work for Yellow Seed Consulting, which is
a talent management
company.
Yes.
And one of the things we've done is we've automated a recruitment process for companies. And it's so amazing because it interviews the candidates.
Yeah.
Over a video. You can have a video session with them.
Yeah.
And then it does all their assessments for them. So you get all the data and you can compare them to all the other the candidates. So it actually like streamlines the whole process so that you can just find that unicorn that you're looking for. Yeah.
And do you think it'll identify talent?
Yeah.
It will.
It does.
Better than humans do.
Much better.
So then even that job where I was
judging. You've seen humans choose humans.
Yeah, when I was judging that TV show and I was like, this is not going to work.
Yeah. AI idols. That's a great term.
Idols. Carol Jean in the comments wants you to say hi, then she knows this is live.
Hi, Carol Jean. How do you know we're live? Penis.
That's enough. The new schedule was announced at the very end of the show on Monday. Welcome to the rest of your life. And that's from The Real Network. So get up to it. Get up to date. You can also turn on your post notifications. You can subscribe. You can get involved in our YouTube channel and you'll get all the important information as and when it happens. You don't need to be surprised. And Eska says, what a nice surprise on a Wednesday. Made my day. Wow.
Brilliant.
I don't think she said it like that. I think she said, made my day. Wow. Well, I can hope so.
You made my day.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
who's
there
that joyful at 5 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know. I'm not acclimatizing to this new 3-day-per-week routine. I'm sorry that you have to be here for the morning where my audience and I have an argument.
What is this 3-day thing that you tell
me?
Are you only working 3 days a week?
So we did 4 days a week up to last week. And then we decided that two of the shows have to come out.
It's basically a show circumcision.
It is. It's a show circumcision. That's what we've done.
Nip the tip.
We've tidied it all up. That's what we've done. I don't think it's a bad thing. I like these 3 days a week. Oh, good. Jen likes it.
Right.
It makes Gareth's show more special because Gareth's in a better mood.
Quality.
What was I, extra grumpy or something? Sure. I thought I'd been grumpy since the very beginning. I've been grumpy for a long time.
You have.
I'm consistently grumpy. That's what makes it.
And you get perceptively more grumpy in an election year.
It's funny, you know, I was talking to Leanne on Monday about this. I'm like, I'm pretty much electioned out. So we were meant to interview Mkhonto weSizwe today.
Sure.
Because we're talking to all the political parties on the Burning Platform. And there was a pre-recording that was set for, I think, 11 o'clock this morning or something. So the guy from MK, just like the ANC last week, this should tell you again, like when you choose who to vote for, vote for the parties who actually don't cancel on the day before. That would be a good start, right? So I'm telling you, because you deserve to know the truth, the parties who've let us down are the ANC and Mkhonto weSizwe so far.
Sure.
The rest of them have sent not only the people that they promised would come, but their best people. They sent the leaders of each of those parties. So to their credit, I would rather have any of the others than those two at this stage. However, don't worry, there will be a burning platform tomorrow. As usual, at 7 o'clock, it will premiere, but we are doing a special brand new version of that too. So there's a lot of exciting changes in the air.
Controversia, is that MK?
MK.
I thought that stood for Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
Finish him.
Yeah.
It's kind of been like that in the party, though, because they've got a guy called Jabulani who was in charge, who's been fired.
Which means happiness.
They say Jacob Zuma's taken over the party. Although I think it was always built around him.
Mm.
So I don't know what kind
His
of
faces on the
that
posters.
Is. Exactly. And if there are posters, have you seen posters? MK
I have.
Posters?
I've seen one or two. Yeah, it's just under the big.
Where did you see
We can do more crime together.
Posters. Oh, we can do more crime together.
Yeah.
Is that what it says?
No, that's the. That's the other, the yellow party.
Yeah. That's great.
But someone went around and actually covered up the crime with the black strip. They blacked it up.
Oh, that what yeah, it is.
It's very CIA. We're getting
very
into conspiracy
good.
Theories already. Sure.
Are you, here's an interesting thing. Your fault, G, you should have known they would cancel. Hey, listen, Dory and James, who produced the show, have been trying to get us the very best people so that you can hear from the horse's mouth. What's going on? People who can sit down here and answer any question. And everyone sent us really good people except those two parties. You know? The IFP didn't send us their leader either, but they sent a very good guy in who I think did an extremely good job. So at this point, it's clear to me that I can vote for pretty much anyone except MK or the ANC. That's kind of how I'm feeling.
Nice.
Yes, for God's sake, bring me the... Here's producer James sneaking onto the set. Look at him running in front of the cameras. He'd blow my fucking nose. This is a real show. I mean, we talk about it's the real network, so you get everything. Hooray! A little bit of this.
Please blow into the mic.
Isn't that exciting?
That is real.
Very
good.
I
could feel that.
All right.
It was a fine spray.
Thank you so much. That's a bit of COVID maybe.
Yeah,
who knows? Who cares?
It's going around.
Okay. So a couple of things I wanted to ask you about.
Mm.
Because the last time we caught up was ages ago. So you were recently nominated for a Naledi Award. Are you one of those people who cares about awards?
I don't really, but they're nice.
No, sure. But you get the... Okay, so you get...
I don't go for them. I'm not a...
Right.
I'm not trying to get an award.
So in the advertising world, for example, everyone's award obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but in the arts, there are two kinds of people. You get the people who really don't give a shit about the awards. Even when they get them, they couldn't be bothered to go and collect them. Right? Then you get the ones who are like, super into it.
Yeah.
And they put a big post up on social media and they put it at pride of place as you walk into their house or
I did
more
put a
likely
post up, but,
more likely in the arts into their skogok, you know.
Container.
Yeah, their shipping container in their grandparents' back garden in Rosettenville.
Samro paid for that container.
So you get those two kinds of people, and they are very different. Obviously, the awards shows are peopled by and attended by the latter category rather than the former.
Well, if you hear what I'm nominated for,
what is
it's quite ridiculous. So, I'm nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a one-woman show.
How
cool is that?
You don't even exist if you're in a one-woman show.
Yeah.
And
I wasn't the woman.
What was this?
So I did a show called Actress. It wasn't technically a one-woman show because I was there. And I literally had to pass her coffee mugs and
that's all
things
you did.
Like that. Yeah, pretty much.
And you got best supporting actor.
I was
actor.
That good, Gareth. I mean, not anyone can pass someone a coffee mug and win an award.
That's a whole heap of bullshit, sorry.
I'm thinking of changing my name to Nominathan, actually, because... I never win, but I'm often nominated.
Oh, God. All right. Someone says here there was a human that developed a programmer that makes the computer check through all of the info so that it can take the results and works out an average. Then it takes the best one for your task. Well, I mean, I found out about three new things this morning. So obviously, everyone knows Midjourney.
Yeah.
Suno is the one that you told us about that can write songs. Then there's Revoicer.
Yeah.
Which is... It takes a 15-second sample?
Yeah, 15-second sample of your voice. And
you just have to talk to it for 15 seconds, and then it can generate your voice. So now I'm thinking, don't worry about this 3-day a week thing, everybody. We'll do 8 days a week. I'll just program some AI and then you wouldn't know the difference.
You can. And
except
you can
AI
actually,
won't suddenly blow its nose in the
middle
of the show.
There's another one called Synthesia that allows you to use your likeness as well.
Now that scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I'm surprised these political guys haven't used it for their campaigns.
Well,
it's clear they're too lazy to come to interviews and things like
they
that.
They could, right? Mm. Funnily enough, you say lazy enough to come to the interviews. So I heard that Panyaza Lesufi wasn't here last week. He was meant to come from the ANC. He wasn't here last week because he went to a football match the night before.
Look, I mean, those are expensive.
Yeah, but
you know, maybe he had the tickets before.
That's where his priority is not to address people in the audience who are part of the nation,
but
citizens of this country who may vote. And because we have an audience who are pretty influential, you'd think he'd want to talk to them. These are people who, you know.
But don't you think the world is a little bit more focused on football than what's going on in the world?
Well, it's a distraction.
Yeah. And that's why sport was created.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at 2010. We got roads built.
Yeah, because of sport. That's the only time that I can really think of in my life that sport did me any serious service.
Yeah. So it's quite amazing, though, that like most people's brain is thinking about billionaires kicking around a rubber ball as opposed to starving children and, abused women.
Didn't Lesufi spend $431 million to decontaminate the stadium before attending? I don't know about that, but he has wasted a lot of money in other stupid places.
He did have a tin of doom with him.
Yeah. You remember when people were spraying doom into their mouths at that one church?
Yeah.
And I think someone had to go to hospital because of this.
Probably. Their immune systems are probably through the roof, though.
Cockroaches don't come near them. That's about right.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, while you were on about AI again, to that guy's comment, one of my best things was, I don't know if you know this, ChatGPT, if you ask it to make references in a document, it makes them up.
So it'll say
Alan Ford, 2009. So, you know, it said that. So that's how they actually got caught out initially before they were the fact checkers. People were submitting things and the lecturers who actually knew what the topic was about was going, who are these people that are being referenced? So yeah, just interesting.
I mean, we you know, fortunately, I suppose South Africa is at the back end of this, but if you were a very famous Hollywood actor or actress or singer or whatever, and they used your likeness, I think you probably could sue, but it's going to be difficult to prove anything.
Yeah,
because who do you hold responsible for this? It's a machine, right?
Yeah.
So if they put like a fake version of Tom Cruise in a commercial for some shitty brand in Indonesia,
hey, well, Checkers just did that, hey.
Well, his
lookalike.
That by the way is a very clever ad campaign. Yeah. I thought that was actually quite smart. But I wonder how they got past that as well.
Yeah, well, it wasn't him.
Yeah, but if Tom saw it, do you think he'd be happy with it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. He might.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe he thought he did do it.
I think he'll probably go, no, I didn't get paid for it. I'm not happy. That's how these things usually work. All right. Here's an interesting thing. No, that guy didn't have enough faith. Who's the? We're talking about the Doom guy.
Right.
The sport guy.
There was another pastor, you'll enjoy this, that would sit on his congregation's faces and fart into their face. But he didn't call it a fart. He called it like
a blessing.
A blessing or something ridiculous.
Listen, if you are allowing yourself to be humiliated,
you
like
deserve
that,
it. Yeah. 100%.
Then I'm not there to protect you. No one should.
Yeah.
If your pastor is so disrespectful that they would fart in your face and you'd be happy with it, I hope your heaven is better than that. That's all I can say. All right.
Yeah, so nothing ever fell off the floor.
I didn't know this about you, but you're very into this Enneagram thing. I've got a friend and she's been doing these for years and she swears by them.
Yeah.
In fact,
it sounds like a drug the way you're saying
it. No. There are companies, there are companies that hire her to do everyone's Enneagram.
Yeah.
So what it is it's this. It may be based in, very ancient skills, numerology. It may have a little bit of woo-woo, medicine magic, who knows. But essentially, it's about these nine numbers.
Yeah.
And you are one of the nine numbers.
Correct.
And that tells you a whole lot about what you should be doing in the world, where you are moving forward and positive and integrating, and where you're moving backwards and disintegrating. And I mean, it's a fascinating thing to do. And people love nothing more than to hear about and talk about themselves. So this is something that I think everybody gets into at some point, whether it's astrology, numerology, the Enneagram, personality profiling. People love to hear about themselves. So there's nothing more interesting to someone than if you sit down with them and you go, let's talk about you. That's always the best way to get their attention.
You know what I love about Enneagram, Gareth, is that it's like it shows you your default setting. So
do you think it's, I mean, first of all, let's just get this out of the way.
I don't know if I would compare it to astrology. And
okay, but then, so you're saying it may have some actual practical application.
Yeah, and it's a psychological tool. Yeah, no, definitely. It's
because you fill in, you give certain inputs to questions, and then it works out based on those answers where you fit.
So basically, it's I don't know if you know much about the neuroscience of it, but there's sort of three centers to your brain. You know, there's your limbic system and your brainstem and your neocortex, and based on which part of your brain responds to whatever you're dealing with, sort of puts you into a category. So it gets fairly complicated if you go down the rabbit hole.
So you think that there is a basis in science for this?
Oh yeah, 100%. Okay.
All right, no, 100%. I'm not being cynical for the sake of it. I just think there are probably people listening to us now going, oh, it sounds like bullshit straight away. People who've never done it, and people who have done it and didn't get the answers they wanted.
Yeah, I'm not the conspiracy theorist you once knew. I actually spent an hour the other day correcting people to tell them that the moon landing did happen.
All right, so I believe you. Let's operate from here on the proposition that this is real.
Right.
Let's talk about. No, I mean I'm not going to be cynical. Then let's talk about it and how it might work and how it's maybe worked for you and how you see it at work, because there are people who think it's great. Jen says the Enneagram's amazing. So what is your number?
And if Jen says, I'm a nine.
You're a nine.
Which doesn't mean that I'm
better than anyone else.
Or,
what is a nine?
A nine is the peacemaker.
Okay.
So basically, I hate conflict, which I imagine yours would not be that.
No, I'm not a nine.
You quite enjoy the conflict.
I'll tell you what I am just now, but we'll get to that. Jen is already guessing. She says, I'm a five. All right, so some people are very into this. What I understand is that wherever you are on this thing, there are certain attributes to your personality which can be made useful or that you should be aware of because they're probably quite detrimental, negative, or could be the kind of thing that moves you in the wrong direction, makes you less motivated, less useful to the people around you.
Yeah,
perhaps creates conflict in the workplace, which you don't need. So if you know where you are on this thing, it's like, you know, and a good personality profiler will tell you the same thing. Mm. You're either a driver or a communicator or an analyst or a planner. The Enneagram is just a version of this.
Well, the thing that's, for me, separates Enneagram from a lot of the personality tests like the Briggs-Myers and Myers-Briggs and things like that is that it actually gives you like a why. Because a lot of the personality tests go, oh, you are like this. But they don't have a story.
So why are you a peacemaker?
Why?
Hmm.
Sure.
No, I'm interested in this.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I'm not fucking with you, I promise.
So basically how it works is you're around the circle of the Enneagram. You got your nine numbers. And then you've got your growth number that you move towards when you're in a good space. So what happened was you're actually born as your growth number. And then because you receive, they call it a wounding message. So something in your childhood, in your nurturing, you receive this message that makes you act in a certain way. So my message was that I needed to keep the peace and that my voice was not...
Your middle child?
I'm a middle child.
There we go.
Yeah, so that often happens.
See, I can play this game.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, no, because the middle child is always like trying to figure out where they fit into things and they're trying to keep everything in balance. And,
yeah, exactly.
Sense.
So that's why I became the peacemaker. But I mean, like if you take an eight, for example, they're usually someone that goes through so much trauma and they need to protect themselves. So they become protective. And that's why they are not afraid of conflict because they're always protecting themselves. It's their default. So my default is to go like, oh no, that's okay. You can have my chair. Yeah, no, please.
And then
no,
what's your growth or integrating number?
3. So the achiever. So
okay.
So the 9 is a bit of a slothful person. It's hard for me to self-motivate.
Oh, like getting out of bed this morning. We had exactly. to call you 8 times.
Yeah, sorry. And I don't answer my phone. Yeah, technology, hey?
Okay.
So if I move towards 3, I take on the aspects of achieving and seeing my role in the world and sort of making a stand and saying to everyone, this is who I am.
Getting more
so
shit
I feel
done.
I have done that in my life a little bit, yeah. You know, like in...
You've achieved.
In acting
yes.
and
yes.
singing and stuff like that. Yeah, so I have pushed myself. So it's good. So it just teaches you to like how to become a better person of yourself. There's also levels. So it'll show you like a really low
By
level
By the way,
9.
If anybody who's listening to this is wondering, like you can actually do these online as well.
You can, yeah.
And usually they're pretty good. I mean, yeah, better ones and worse ones. And I know there are lots of people who are into this like you are, who are listening to my summaries of things and going, no, that's not true. Look, I'm not an expert, but the little bit of exposure I've had to this, I found it interesting. And I do think people love figuring out things about themselves. So if this works for you, awesome. Go with it.
I take it you've done the test.
I have indeed. What's your downward spiral?
My downward spiral is a 6.
Which is?
So it's the loyalist, the 6, and they are security conscious. So I become quite suspicious of people, things like that, when I'm stressed.
Okay, so let's just go through them quickly because I think this is quite fun. So what is 1?
So 1 is the reformer. Okay. So they are the sort of perfectionists that try and make the world a better place. And you can almost, as you say that, you can almost see the good and bad in that, right?
Sure.
So someone who wants to make the world a better place can be amazing.
Those
they can
be
also be
judgmental.
A judgmental person yep. that,
okay.
yeah.
Got you. Number 2?
Number 2 is the helper. So they're the people that need to be loved. So they'll serve people. They're like your servers. Mm-hmm. They want to help everyone. But they're very, the sort of blind spot there.
They can be a bit needy.
Yeah. As well, and they can be a bit possessive of people.
Okay,
like that.
3s?
3s are the achievers. So they're the people that get sort of, they only feel their value when they're achieving, like when they're winning. So like the person who comes 2nd, their father didn't hug them.
Right.
You know, that's sort of, so,
right.
sort of the achievers. So they only get that love and affection when they're winning, yeah.
And then 4s?
4s are the individualists. I always imagine those to be a little bit gothic. They're like they're dark poetic people.
They don't really
people.
Care about fitting in.
No, yeah, they love standing out, love being different.
Okay.
Don't like it when they get compared to other people.
And what's the downside of them?
The downside is that they can be very melancholic. Very
get into their feels.
Yeah, and just sort of put that on other people.
5.
Yeah, so 5. The investigator or the sage.
Look at you. You know all of this stuff.
I do,
I'm so
yeah.
impressed. Okay, so what is the sage?
The sage is the person, they're very cerebral, so very in their head. They withdraw a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of their negative thing is they withdraw from society because they get overwhelmed by lots of people and lots of energy. And they're the kind of people that they want to be capable. You know, so they do a lot of research into everything. They're
right.
very interesting people because they know a lot about a lot of things. So.
What about a 6? You mentioned them earlier. You said that they're safety.
6 is the loyal
concerned.
Skeptic.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're the 6 is the person who's very security conscious. They're the person that'll, if you bring them a business plan, they'll go, I see some pitfalls for you.
Straight
know?
Away.
Yeah, and they can, so they can be seen as quite negative, but they're actually just... You know, assessing, they're the cop going into a room and like checking all the corners, you know.
7?
7 is the enthusiast. That's the...
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they're wonderful. The only
7
problem,
sounds great.
Yeah, they love living life. They want to know what's next. They want to keep moving. They're very scatterbrained.
What's the bad part?
The bad part is that they can be super indulgent, overindulgent. So they can become addicted to things. They also suppress their feelings. So each number, fits into a triad, right?
Right.
And there's three numbers in each triad. So one of the numbers will suppress an emotion, the other one will internalize, and the other one will externalize.
This is very. I don't know the origins of this, but there isn't a better one or a worse one. Everybody is one of these by default, and you just have to deal with it.
Yeah. So, well, everyone has all the numbers in them.
Right.
What sort of happens is you gravitate towards one number.
Okay, but we haven't finished though. So eight.
Eight is the challenger. So that's sort of the one that likes conflict, but they like protecting people. They like protecting themselves and they like protecting other people. So they'll stand up for people, you know, and shout at them and beat people right. up to protect other people. So they can be quite scary for someone like me, like a nine, because someone who loves conflict but is absolutely fine with conflict. I mean, you don't passively aggressively ask an eight to turn the aircon down, you know. You don't go, whew, it's a little chilly in here, you know. You just say to an eight, look, dude, turn the aircon down.
Right.
And they prefer that, yeah.
All right, well, you can do these tests online. I think, as I recall, I'm an eight, so surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting that people use these at work, in relationships. There's a dating app, apparently. Someone said here in the comments, there's actually a dating app that uses
the Enneagram
to match people up.
Amazing.
So obviously, there's certain people who, you know, they are drawn to another kind of number more than anything else.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think this is interesting. Yeah, you can get very deep into it. I saw that there are courses that people go on that are like 5 days where you learn about the different numbers and your own pattern and...
But what's so amazing about it in the corporate world is like using it to like bring teams together. So for example, if we take Flex and James and Gareth, right?
Right.
And if you know each other's Enneagram and what that means, it just makes it easier to get along as a team because you understand where the person's coming from.
Well, you don't take it personally when someone has a bad day or if they're grumpy or if they're quiet.
Yeah.
You don't think, oh, it's me.
Yeah,
that's what
exactly.
People always do, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not only about yourself, right? It's really about actually getting to know other people better and like really getting to know people, which is like, I think a leadership skill that's completely lacking in a lot of companies is that people don't realize that people are people and they have whole stories. There's actually a beautiful word called sonder. Do you know the word sonder?
No.
Sonder is the realization that a person walking past you in the street has a completely full life with dreams and hopes and family members.
It's the opposite
members
of saying, oh, that's an NPC.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sonder
so there aren't any
Sonder
NPCs.
Sonder is the antonym to NPC.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Rebellious Ruth asks in the comments, aren't we all a little bit of each at times? Yeah, I think we are, right?
Absolutely, yeah. But because of what happens in your childhood, you usually just gravitate to... One, you know how your brain wires your two neurons together, and that's the path you will always go to, that neural pathway. So that's sort of what happens here is it's a default setting.
I think that's fascinating. I've done a lot of these personality profiles over the years. I've done Enneagrams and all the other stuff too. And then the wacky stuff for fun as well, like the numerology.
What Harry Potter house are you in?
No, I haven't done what Harry Potter house I'm in. Have
Slytherin.
You? What are you?
I'm Slytherin, 100%.
That's bad, right?
No.
No?
No, Slytherin
Isn't
is...
Isn't that where all the shit kids are?
Well, in the movies and books, yes, but...
Oh, so the person who invented it said they were shit, but you're going to say, no, they're not really.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah.
I was proud of it.
Weren't all the Nazis Slytherin? All right. I wanted you to see this quickly. You're in Slytherin, so this will be easy for you. Here is a riddle. There are three kids and two apples. Okay. And the three kids and the two apples, and there's one knife. And with one movement of the knife, you can share out the apples properly and fairly. What is the correct thing to do?
With one movement of the knife.
One movement of the knife. You can't cut twice.
Is this a trick question? Like I should slit the throats of the children?
There it is. There's the, so there's the three kids. There's the knife. There's the two apples. How do you share out the apples equally? One movement of the knife.
One movement. So
yes, one stroke of the knife.
That's what's throwing me off. Can you cut two thirds out of both apples in one swoop of the knife?
Well,
that's what I would go with.
Technically, I suppose you could, although it wouldn't really be fair. So the answer is...
Because then each kid gets two
thirds. The answer
is
you stack the apples on top of each other and you cut two thirds of the way.
Right.
Then person A gets two thirds of the first apple, person B gets two thirds of the other apple, other person gets the two pieces that you've cut off there, which means they get essentially their share of the apple.
It's very early for this, Gareth.
The difficulty, I mean, the real answer, and it came to me straight away, so I must be a psychopath.
Chop all three.
No, you stab the one person and you have two apples for two people.
But then there's you to worry about. And let's face it, like you said, everyone's focused on themselves.
So just take so both just, apples. Just stab both people.
Try cut as many throats as you can in one foul swoop.
What? One motion.
Yeah. This game of, Game of Thrones,
that's
those
amazing.
Children.
Yeah, just do that.
Yeah.
We used the Enneagram, says Color, to guide interaction between vastly different personality types in a team, like salesmen, engineers, and accountants. I assume you had a good result from this. You know,
We'll wait.
Yeah, I would be upset, Color, if you came back to us and said it was a total disaster. Everyone murdered each other with knives and apples. It would have been horrific. I don't know whether it's widespread in this country, but I do think that there are companies that do this.
And
if they keep
on.
Doing it, then it must deliver results.
It does, yeah.
Because companies don't like not having the results.
True. And
certainly management aren't going to keep paying for you to go on little breakaways to do your Enneagrams if they're not delivering results.
Yeah. If it doesn't have ROI, it's
damn
not
right.
Doing.
Those are the three letters. Return on investment. Another shockingly shit thing that everyone's talking about all the time. Okay, now apparently you're also writing a vampire musical.
Correct. Yes.
There's a market for vampire musicals.
Not really, actually.
You're going to start
actually
one.
So we actually sat with a dramaturg. So my wife and I are writing it together. She's a writer and I'm a musician, so I'm writing the music. She's writing the script. And we sat with a dramaturge who told us, you know that vampire musicals or vampire plays are the least watched things on Broadway.
So it's, you were like, well,
there's never been
that.
A successful one. Yeah. I want to prove them wrong.
Do you know where the whole vampire thing comes from, though?
I know they buried a body and then there was a rumor that it
No, so there are two places. I mean, the first place it comes from is in Bulgaria, Transylvania.
Mm.
There were always these village peasants who believed that, you know, the evil lord in the castle rises from the dead. And so it was like stupid peasants who will believe anything. You know, it's a big problem in the world today. But then Lord Byron made it popular because he made them these awesome aristocrats who live these glamorous lives. But then in order to live longer and to secretly prosper without anyone knowing, they would drink the blood of beautiful women and all this kind of thing. And
so
of
like
course
the Harvey Weinsteins
so,
and
correct.
Like
so
that.
Somewhere around the sort of mid 1800s, this was kind of all the rage.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that vampire became, I mean, it was a word that came from Transylvania. And there was obviously that legend before of Vlad the Impaler, who in the, I think, 1400s fought the Ottomans and managed to do quite well. And they say that, you know, half of his power came from the fact that he was, you know, drinking the blood of virgins or whatever. But he was a pretty mean guy, what he actually did.
He probably did.
The name the Impaler comes from him putting people on top of sharp sticks, asshole first.
Sure.
His enemies. He created
whole
forests. That's
probably the least comfortable way to sit on a stick.
Whole forests of his enemies as like human trees, effectively. Not a great way to die. Not a great way to look. Kind of humiliating. I would say worse even than the pasta farting in your face story that we had earlier.
Are you familiar with Nero?
Yes, the emperor of Rome.
I mean, he did some horrific things. Didn't he cover people in tar and and then set them on fire to light his garden. Did I?
No, that, okay. So
is that a bit of sensationalism?
Nero was the last of the Julio-Claudian emperors, and there were a lot of things that he was, I mean, he didn't have a good relationship with his mother, for starters.
He played violin.
He supposedly played the fiddle while Rome burned, although...
Or he just fiddled while Rome burned.
He wasn't even in Rome, supposedly, at the time that the fire broke out. He did rush to Rome and help put it out. Personally got involved in putting out the fire, not just directing other people to do it. And I think he's got a bad rap in history. There are a lot of people in history who their successes came along and it suited them to make them look much worse.
Right.
So I don't know that all of that is true about Nero, but there are worse emperors than Nero. There are people like Caligula and Elagabalus.
Yeah, but that's just their
names. Really bad. No, I mean like these were really, really awful, awful people.
We should bring that baby name back though.
Caligula.
Yeah. Oh, look at little Caligula.
You know what it means?
No.
Little shoes.
Little shoes. I was going to say fancy handwriting, but
Caligula.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking calligraphy.
You have a, yeah, well, I thought it was a root word.
No.
Yeah.
No, little shoes. Okay. In fact, little sandals.
Yeah, so small shoes to fill,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Sure. But anyway, those guys are truly awful.
Yeah.
Really. Like, you look up Elagabalus, Caligula made his horse a senator.
He was South African.
He would cross dress. He supposedly stabbed his wife to death.
So, for her dress?
Didn't like her anymore. He was the emperor. You could do what you want as Roman emperor.
Now sounding more like an American.
Sure. Yeah, pretty horrific.
Cross dressing wife stabber.
Elagabalus, they say, was a total nutcase. So he would cover people in honey and let the bees sting them to death and that kind of thing.
So.
Really, really nice people.
Although, I'm pretty sure in America, I don't know about Europe, the bees are... I mean, I know we have our African bee that everyone's afraid of, like overseas. But I watched this Texas bee lady that rehomes bees. I don't know if you've seen it on Instagram. And she's like, so I scooped the bees out with my hand. And she did it? She just does that every day. She goes and scoops bees out of... She takes the queen...
And they're okay with that?
Yeah. Nothing. I'm like, you try that in South Africa.
Is she wearing a bee outfit?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. With her bare hands, she just scoops them out. I was so confused by that. I'm like, that's not the bees we know.
No, our bees would sting the hell out of you.
You don't even have to do anything.
Although a friend of mine who is from Texas was here 2 weekends ago, and he said to me, we have no idea. Mosquitoes there. He says, first of all, their mosquitoes are like twice the size. Second of all, they are fast.
Yeah.
So...
That's why everybody has guns. We shoot those out of the sky.
So apparently these things are super fast and they are vicious. They will sting you repeatedly just for fun, not even for the blood.
Wow.
So I would rather have our bees and our mosquitoes than their mosquitoes.
So they don't have malaria there?
No.
Interesting.
No, it's a very African thing.
But is that something the mosquito just carries, or is it the actual mosquito?
No, it's a bacterium inside of the mosquito's
system. So if that got over there,
Yeah, it would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Yeah. Are you plotting bioweapons?
Well, I'm just thinking there's a lot of anti-vaxxers there. You know, Russia could take America.
There are lots of animals that I would not like from other places, and they think we have problems. And we've got lions and crocodiles and those kinds of things. Hippos kill more people than everything except the mosquito.
Yeah.
So technically we have the number one and number two spot on like shitty animals.
Yeah.
But there are other animals in South America, Australia. You wouldn't want those. And the other day we were talking about bears. And bears are like really quite terrifying. You remember that Revenant movie with Leo DiCaprio? I still haven't got over that.
The one that he won the Oscar for, but it was not his best movie.
I don't know. I mean, I thought that was did you watch it? It was like traumatic.
I haven't watched it actually.
Jesus.
I know that he's attacked by a bear, but that's...
You attacked repeatedly.
Oh.
Is that
the whole movie? It's just
like
him being tortured
by a bear?
It's
like an assault. It's the most appalling animal attack movie I've ever seen.
Okay.
In all the other animal attack movies, the guy just dies. This one, and it comes back. It's horrific. I mean, just when you think it's over, it carries on.
Did he have a gun?
Please don't bring it up. I don't want to think about it too much. Okay. If anyone else has seen the Revenant, you can back me up on this. It's a pretty disturbing movie.
But Australia still
deserved
has the worst.
Oscar. Even if he wasn't actually attacked by a bear, the kind of things that he must have gone through to make it feel like he was, still suffering.
I heard such a brilliant. I saw a brilliant meme the other day. It said, "Imagine one day you're walking in the shopping mall, and you're just getting your groceries." And then someone shouts, "Cut," and you're actually Gary Oldman. That's how good of an actor he is.
Okay, that's very good. In Australia, the poisonous spiders, says Ricky, and venomous snakes are in the bush away from us where we don't see them. Well, most of them.
Have you seen those clouds of spiders? They basically spin each other into a web that floats on the breeze, and they fly and then descend.
So you could be in your garden watering your pot plants.
And the spiders descend.
A spider cloud could descend on you.
Yeah.
And then they all crawl all over you.
No. So I can handle snakes, no problem, but spiders, horrific. Not a chance.
Yeah, bears and anacondas. Rebellious Ruth says, "Esh, Revenant kept me up for nights."
There are anacondas in Revenant as well.
So no. But listen, those were terrible movies. Those were those J-Lo movies. J-Lo was in Anaconda, right? Yes. J-Lo, the great actress.
Yeah.
She was in Anaconda. What a pile of shit. But at least they made the snakes really, really big.
Yeah.
I think it eventually just became so ridiculous because the snakes couldn't even fit in the Amazon River.
But it's not the size that counts, Gareth.
That's what they say.
I mean...
Carl says Leo tried to fight that bear with his bare hands, so it's weird. It wasn't a fairer fight.
Okay, yeah. Actually, that is pretty fair.
No. This thing and this thing had a bloodlust.
I don't know. I feel gun versus just paws is not fair.
So you bring up guns. This relates to all of this. Have you heard about this controversy that's going on in America at the moment about Kirstie Nome?
The one who shot a dog.
Yes. Okay, so she is a potential vice presidential pick for Donald Trump, okay? Governor of, I think, South Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah,
where bears are from.
Well, there's North and South Dakota. I don't know why they need to be two Dakotas because they're the same. There's nothing going on there. Yeah. Anyway.
Deserts.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no one in Dakota. It's like both of them, put them together, you got like 15 people. Anyway, she's the governor, okay? And she lives on this like ranch. And she's got dogs and wild animals and farm animals and all kinds of things. And she uses her dogs to go hunting because she shoots vermin, you know? I'm going to go out and kill myself some vermin. Anyway, Kirstie Nome, she's not an unattractive woman. She's a grandma. I heard this in one of her interviews. She's got kids. She's got grandkids. Governor of South Dakota, running for vice president. She writes a book. In the book, now you'd think this is like politics 101. In the book, there's an entire chapter on her shooting her dog called Cricket. So Cricket apparently made the devastating mistake of ruining her hunt. He like barked or chased the wrong animal or flushed it out of the meadow too soon or who knows, but it ruined her hunt. And then she says it was like killed a chicken or something. So she took Cricket and she took him to the gravel pit.
Oh, my goodness.
The gravel pit. This is a thing Americans do. And she put Cricket in the gravel pit and she just shot him in the head.
Oh, my goodness.
This was like a dog that's less than 2 years old.
Okay? I had a follow-up story where she defended herself because she said he was rabid or something.
She's trying to spin this. The book... hasn't come out yet, but she's doing all these media interviews. So they've given the media advanced copies. And the media have now read this. That's bad enough. She's now going out defending herself. She's like, well, I want people to know that I am a decisive leader and I don't pass on my responsibilities. I'll shoot any dog you need me to shoot. So that's bad, right? Because now obviously America's reacted. And I don't think...
In the correct way.
Well, apart from total psychopaths, everyone should go, people who shoot their own dogs. Even if there's a problem, like I'm aware, I grew up on a farm. Sometimes you have to put down a rabid animal or whatever, but you don't talk about it and write about it and think it's going to get you votes. So She's going around doing all these media interviews. Yeah. They won't leave it alone because they think it's hilarious. She then, apparently in the same chapter, on the same day, it's called Bad Day to Be a Goat. Oh, she's walking back from shooting cricket in the gravel pit. And she walks past the smelly billy goat who apparently would like harass the children or...
I swear it was Baphomet.
He was like just standing there, this.
Oh, no, he wasn't. He was sitting on a throne of lies with his rectangle eyes staring at me.
So this billy goat who stank apparently, really smelled real bad, she takes him to the gravel pit and shoots him as well. So now there's two bodies, two carcasses from Kirstie.
I bet you they'll find
Nome.
An ex-husband there as well.
I'm telling you, they better dig up that gravel pit. There's going to be some stuff.
This is like Tiger King.
That's not even enough. This woman clearly hasn't had enough of this because she ends the book by saying that Joe Biden's dog, who apparently like savaged some secret service agents or whatever, this dog was a problem. Commander is what Joe Biden's Alsatian, I think, that lived at the White House for a while.
Because the dog makes all the decisions for him.
It bit two or three secret service agents and like barked and growled at some more. She's like, well, if I were there, you know what I would have done? I would have taken Commander around the back and shot him.
Yeah, take Commander to the gravel pit. Oh, my word.
This is the woman who's...
What a horrific human.
So there is the end of Kirstie Nome's political career. It's done.
Have you ever heard in writing, Save the Cat?
No.
So it comes from the movie Alien.
Yeah.
Where she saves the cat.
Yes.
And that defines her as a hero or heroine.
Yeah.
So in writing, you always need to position your hero to, they call it save the cat in inverted commas.
Yeah.
So save the child.
Not shoot the dog.
That's exactly how you make a villain. Yeah.
So. Right. So Kirstie Nome, not going to be governor of South Carolina.
Should have known better.
South Dakota, and she also won't be vice president. It's not going to happen, right?
Wow.
It's just really bad.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Who shoots a puppy, says Jen. She thought it would make her look strong. Yeah, she did. And Kallis says, by the way, on your Enneagram question, the result was excellent. The team figured out how to work with each other and optimized their collaboration.
Well, there you have it.
That even sounds like it was AI generated. Optimized their collaboration. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment or two. Nathan Rose with us. We're having fun. It's Wednesday morning. The Real Network and The Gareth Cliff Show back in a minute.